Welcome to the podcast, Patients and Patient Organizations in Ear and Guardheart on Air. My name is Diane Zwaagman, and I am Guardheart Social Media Manager and you're today's host. We'll be talking about on how the patient representatives involved in the network work, and to do so, we have invited two very special guests who have been involved as patient representatives in this network. Some have just been appointed and others for quite some time. Welcome, Esther and Carmen, and thanks for joining us. Let's get started. So, Carmen, if I and the people want to get to know you, can you tell us which condition or group of conditions are we talking about?
So yes, in our organizations, we cover all the genetic heart diseases, all the cardiomyopathies and channelopathies.
And since when, Carmen, did you become a patient representative in the network board, and what were your main personal reasons to do so?
Well, we were invited to join the network about 3 years ago, when we had just been founded as a patient organization in our country, in Romania. And obviously, we were very happy, and we definitely thought we would have much to learn from the other patients' advocacy groups, us being at the beginning of the road. Also to have their support and give us ideas on different topics. And also, there was also a very good way of keeping us informed about anything related to the diseases that we cover in our organization.
Thanks. And Esther, which condition or group of conditions are we talking about if I or other listeners wants to get to know you?
Good morning. My name is Esther Costafreda, and I am co-founder of SAMS. This is a Spanish association of patients and relatives with cardiomyopathies and channelopathies, which are inherited rare heart diseases that affect the structure and the electricity of the heart.
And Esther, since when did you become the patient representative in the network, and what were your main personal reasons to do so?
I became co-chair of the IPAC group when it was founded in August 2017. At the beginning, we were just four patient organizations from Spain, France, UK, and the Netherlands. And my main personal reason was to represent the Spanish patient's voice in this group and defend their interests at the European level, belonging to a network with the most expert European healthcare providers to be able together to improve patients' quality of life. At the beginning, our main goal was to make our group grow, finding patient organizations from all countries in Europe and helping patient organizations to be founded where there weren't any. In 2018, we organized our first face-to-face meeting in Barcelona, and this helped us to know each other better and build strong connections. And I was invited in 2019 to travel to Romania to participate in a patient meeting to explain how our own association in Spain was created. And this is how I met Carmen and how we helped a bit. We put our grain of sand so that their association was born there also.
And involving to the network board, Esther, could you explain to us why you think this is important?
Well, the connection between healthcare providers and patient organizations is very important. We represent the needs of the patients, and the doctors are the ones that are going to investigate to improve our lives and try to find a treatment to cure our diseases. We are the example of what a patient lives with this disease at the physical and the mental level. We must work together to spread awareness, to learn from others, to share good practices, to build multidisciplinary arrhythmia units, organize patient meetings and other activities in each country, as we do in Spain with all the cardiologists that belong to the ERN Guardheart, to make connections with other bodies, as we are also doing with forensics. We are currently putting in place a European sudden death working group to gather the information that exists at a European level to help in the prevention and early diagnosis of these inherited heart diseases that very often begin with the sudden death of a child without having had any symptom before, as it happened to our son Angel when he died of sudden death when he was 15 years old.
And Esther, could you also tell us about your role in the network and how are you helping this ERN?
Well, as IPAC, my specific role is to represent the Spanish patients in all their activities that are organized in the ERN, to be part of the working groups with the healthcare providers and meeting with all other patients' organizations every month to know about their own activities in their countries. Altogether, we are stronger and can push to make things happen. We must sum up to make sure we can influence at the policy level and have a unified roadmap, making sure our unmet needs are represented. In the specific case of Spain, we must make sure the multidisciplinary specialty of genetics is implemented in our country as in many other countries in Europe.
And Carmen, the next questions are for you. You are a close person, I guess a husband to a patient, a
yes.
Representative in the network. And I understand that you have been also involved in a registered national patient organization within your own country. And could you tell us why this is important for the network as well as for your own community?
Sure. Yes, indeed, we were registered as a national patient organization in Romania when my husband was diagnosed with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy back in 2019. His doctor asked us if we could found the organization as there was a great need of having an official and united voice of all the patients to help improve the healthcare policies, create awareness, offer education related to the genetic heart diseases to both patients and physicians, as well as offering support for the patients and their families to improve their overall journey from the diagnosis to getting the right treatment, being in the right hands and get the proper help. And I think that bringing the patient side of the story to the network can improve the practice, address patients' concerns and enhance overall healthcare quality.
And how are you doing this? Can you give us an example?
Sure, we have periodic webinars for patients on topics of interest to them, like heart transplant, life with cardiomyopathy or channelopathies related to sport or pregnancies for patients with cardiomyopathies and so on. We had a talk with some of family doctors for them to be able to diagnose or not quite diagnose, but at least see the first signs or direct them towards thinking about cardiomyopathies when they get patients with different symptoms. We do plan to have more webinars for them. We also get contacted by patients to help them be in touch with the physicians with the right expertise for genetic cardiac diseases. And our own experience as patients offers feedback to the clinicians and also help us support the other families that are at the beginning of their journey as patients with a genetic cardiac disease.
Okay, and since you and your patient organization is involved in this network, have you seen some results and can you share a good example with us?
The mere support we get from the other organization is the best example that came to my mind. We had different situations related to obtaining grants or the legal aspects of donations or even matters to related to the genetic testing and what age should the children of patients with genetic cardiac disease should be tested. These are situations I often had to reach out to the other EPAGs for help, for ideas, even for documents, legal documents, and so on. So just to see how they handle it, because I feel we are still at the beginning of the journey as a patient organization, even though we had been founded for 3 years. So yes, I see a lot of help from their side, and I can see a benefit of being part of the network.
Carmen, do you also see barriers in this road so far, and how are you dealing with them?
Maybe the greatest struggle that we have is getting the funds from sponsors, because we are quite small as an association. Maybe we not raise so much interest. We don't generate enough emotion to the public to get donations from the public. We are now working to get more patients to subscribe to the organizations, just to be able to have a greater voice, a more united voice. And also, there are many people diagnosed with a genetic heart disease in Romania, but not all of them have heard of our organization, or they're not quite educated on what they would benefit by being part of it. So this is another struggle that we have now, to just to grow the number of patients that are subscribed within the organization.
Okay, and the next questions, Esther, are for you. If you have any, can you share some tips for others who would like to involve in GuardHeart and become an EPAC? And what would you recommend them to start with?
Well, I would recommend them to contact the healthcare providers in their countries represented in the ERN and show them interest in being part of our EPAC group. And also contact other patient organizations being part of the EPAC so that they can show them what they have done in their own organization. I would recommend them to be positive, active, and have interest in making things go forward. Never give up and always look back to see all the steps already accomplished.
That's very concrete. Share, Esther, your thoughts on an ideal collaboration between the board and the EPAC groups. What would that look like?
Well, for me, an ideal collaboration would be to be able to sit together, patients and cardiologists, to make sure all the unmet needs are covered and work together in a collaborative way, establishing a clear roadmap to find solutions to fight against sudden death, improving awareness, prevention, early diagnosis, and patients' quality of life.
And Esther, thanks for the formal questions for now. I have some informal for you both, and I would like to start with Esther. Can I ask you if you have a job, and what can you tell us about it?
Well, yes, my job is to lead our patient organization in Spain. 2 years ago, I quit my job after 18 years. So now I dedicate all my time to our association. We organize activities to spread awareness about inherited heart diseases. We help patients with psychological support, with peer-to-peer support groups and expert patient programs. And we also train the population, the students and the adults, to do CPR and use of external defibrillator. Because in Spain, there is a lack of knowledge in these techniques to save lives, and there is a lot to be done still. And a very important focus for us is the networking with other associations in Spain, but also in Europe and at an international level, as well as collaborating with experts, Spanish hospitals and other bodies such as Spanish forensic institutes.
And Esther, is there time left for any hobbies?
Yes, I have a favorite hobby. It is to go walking with friends. I do it twice a week, and it's a way to share our lives. This is a therapeutic activity I do every week. And I also love to be surrounded by young people to be connected to the new generations and learn from them. And obviously, to lead our association, trying to help other patients and accompanying them is also one of my favorite activities. It gives me sense to my daily life.
Thank you so much. Carmen, do you have a job and what can you tell us about it?
Yes, well, I'm a computer science engineer, but I'm currently working in IT management for a Norwegian software company. And as of the patient organizations, we only do voluntarily work there. But as Esther said, she's got a great satisfaction from helping others. We feel that too, especially when we get to in direct contact with the patients that request our help. It is a great satisfaction to know that you've impacted their life, even though it wasn't that much, and you didn't have a solution to their problem, maybe, but at least it improved their life a little bit. So that's a great satisfaction and motivation for us to go on with this organization.
Yes, I can understand that. Carmen, is there time left for hobbies for you? Can you tell us anything about it?
Sure. Well, time is short, but hobbies are hobbies. Somehow it's something that you love to do and then you find the time to do it. And I love landscape photography, especially at sunrise and sunset and astrophotography. So sometimes not too often because I'm not able to waste too many nights to photograph the stars, but every so often, maybe once a month, I do that. And yeah, it's I would say my way of relaxing.
All right. Well, this was all for today's episode. A big thanks for Esther and for Carmen for joining me today and for sharing their own experiences with us. Thank you so much. I say enjoy the sun or have a good working day left. Thanks for listening and till next time. Bye.